I hope you'll take your Bibles and turn to Luke, the 10th chapter, and let's study here and learn some things from the book of Luke and this chapter that will help us in our Christian walk as we walk toward heaven. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, and we see what we sometimes call the limit commission in the first 20 verses, but he begins by saying, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." Now, he sent them not one by one, but two by two. And brethren, I think we can learn a lot from this. One thing that I always try to do, if possible, is when going on a Bible study, take somebody with you. It's a very good idea because you have backup. You have somebody that can strengthen you. And maybe sometimes you get into some difficult situations. But if you have two people there that are working together for the same cause, it makes things easier. You have somebody supporting you in the cause of Christ. And so he sent them out. But he said he sent them into every city. Brethren, the gospel is for every single person. And we as God's people need to be doing what these people were doing. We need to be teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is also our commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We have a work to be doing, brethren. And let's don't be lazy and not doing our job, because notice what he says in the very next verse. "Therefore said he unto them," talking about Jesus, "the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth labors into his harvest." He says, the fields, they're what unto harvest? Sometimes we may say, nobody wants to hear the gospel. Nobody wants to be converted. That's not true, because Jesus said this right here. The fields are wide unto harvest. Sometimes we have to raise our heads up and look out and see that, oh, there's the fields. And the fields are the world, the people in this world that we live in. He says, every soul, they need the gospel. And brethren, we need to be busy spreading this gospel. Think for a moment. If Christians don't take the gospel to all the world, who will? Nobody else will do this job. And when it comes down to it, it is not anybody else's job but Christians. That work has been given specifically to us. The fields are wide in the harvest. There's much work to do. But now something he said here that's also very important. He says, pray that God will send laborers. In my private prayers, I do pray that God will send even more workers here to this area, to Chalmette. I don't remember ever anybody praying about that publicly, that God will send us more workers here. Sir, there are people out there that want to work and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that describes you this morning. Not thinking of what people can do for you, because brethren, God has blessed us so much already. He sent His Son and He died on the cross. Why? Because of your sins and my sins, so much has been done for us already. We have places that we call home that we live in. We have furnishings within. We have clothes to wear. We have food to eat. God has supplied every single need that we have, nothing lacking. And Jesus said, if you'll put the kingdom first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Food, clothing, raiment, the place to stay, all these things, everything that you need in life will be added unto you. Question, do you believe what the Lord said when He said, if you put the kingdom first, that He would supply all our needs? Because if we don't believe Him, we're not going to do what He said. But now maybe we say, yes, certainly I believe what the Lord said because He always tells the truth. But then another question comes, are we doing that? Are we serving God? Or are we waiting for somebody to serve us? And we live in a society that wants to be served. We want everybody to serve us, and we want it fast, we want it right, and if something's not right, we're quick to complain about it. I wonder how much complaining the Lord could do about us if He looked at our life and said, here's what I told you to do and here's what you are doing. See, we need those that are willing to get their hands dirty. Those that are willing to go out into the fields. The fields, they're all around you right here. These people that live in these houses and these apartments in your community, the fields are where you work at, those people that work with you, those people that live on the same street with you, across the street, those people that are in your family that have not obeyed the gospel, those that have not heard the gospel, brethren, the fields are wide unto harvest. And one thing we need to learn, it is not our place to make anybody obey the gospel. God did not give us that job. He did say, though, go into all the world and spread the gospel, preach the gospel to every creature. That is our responsibility, and we have to make sure that we are meeting the responsibility that God has given us. Now, also, this tells us something else. Brethren, our life has meaning. A lot of people have no meaning in life. They just live. They're just living basically for the moment. Whatever pleasure they can have for the time being. And some people go through life as though they never really have any meaning to life at all. Why am I here? Well, the Christian should never say that. The Christian should not feel that way. And if he or she does, he should go back to the Bible and look, God has given me something to do. He wants me to be busy teaching the Word of God to others. But now, in order to know the Word of God, to teach it to others, I must be willing to study myself. Now, that comes into play. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God, so I must know what the will of God is if I'm going to teach it to others. And I'm serving God, therefore my life has meaning. See, when God told us what to do, He knew what man needed better than man knew what man needed. And man needs to be busy. Man does not need to be idle, just doing nothing. And there is never a reason that the child of God should be idle. He should always be busy. Number one, studying ourselves. And number two, teaching our families what the Word of God is. And too many fathers are not meeting the responsibility of making sure that their families know what the will of God is and leading them. And then third, we must be going out to other people and teaching them the gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For if the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Do we believe that this word here, God's word, the Bible, do we believe it is the power of God unto salvation? You see these people out here that are roaming up and down the streets, they're lost. They haven't obeyed the gospel. And this morning, if you're sitting here and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're lost. First, you need to submit to God. You need to obey God. And then go and teach others. Not just look for those that can serve you and what somebody can do for you. But God has already taken care of our needs. Brethren, let's go out and do what God has told us to do. In verse 3, He says, Jesus speaking, He says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. This job is going to be dangerous. It's no easy task. Being a Christian is not for sissies. And if you enlisted in the Lord's army think it was going to be something easy, you signed up at the wrong place. Because this is a busy work. There's a lot of work to do. Therefore, there's no place for loafing, not in the Lord's army. But neither is there a place for people to think this is some kind of easy work. Well, being a preacher, being an elder, being a deacon, being a Bible class teacher, being a Christian, period, that's not an easy task. Because it says there's wolves out there. What do wolves do? They kill their prey and destroy it. Well, Satan has those that work for him, and they seek to destroy God's people. See, light and darkness, they don't blend so well together, do they? One is contrary to the other. So understand, there's dangers out there. How do I deal with the dangers? How do I deal with the pitfalls? The Apostle Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, that is, if we've looked at the Word of God and we are aware of what they are, and then also if we look at Ephesians 6 and we see what the armor of God is, and we are told to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You'll know what they are. You'll be prepared. That way Satan won't overtake you. But now, if you go out there and you're unprepared, Satan will take advantage of you. He will destroy you. And brother, we have to realize this. We have a world that is lost, and for the most part, they don't even realize they're lost. And so we need to take the gospel to them and show them. There's a lot of people out there that have just simply never read the Bible. There's a lot of religious people out there that have never really read the Bible. Didn't know that was in there because they haven't studied the Word of God. What is our place? Our mission. God has given us a mission. Have you thought about that? That makes this work important. It's not just anybody's work. Well, we have jobs that maybe we go to tomorrow. Now, those jobs are important in a certain aspect, but brethren, they pale in comparison to the work that God has given us to do. Our great commission to go into all the world. See, that's the mission that we have been given, not just to those that we work for that pays us a paycheck. This work has been given to us by God. That makes it greater than any work that there is in the entire world. This work that God has given to us. Ask you a question. Every one of you have plans of some sort for this week. Well, some of you are off because of Mardi Gras. I never understood that till I came here. The rest of the country, it's not off on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because of Mardi Gras. Because they're not having those days. But around here, a lot of people are. So some people have plans for the next few days to go catch those silly beads that you don't know what you're going to do with them once you get them. And those little cups they throw out, they're not really worth anything to begin with. And you'll reach and you'll fight to get those things. And once you have it, well, what do I really have anyway? But some people are going to do those things. So they have plans. Some of you, hey, maybe we're going to go on a picnic. Some decided, well, we're going to go out of town during Mardi Gras. We know what that is, so we're going to go do something else. But you have some kind of plans. But what have you done far as planning to serve God? What have you done far as planning this week and planning to take the gospel to those that are lost? God has given you this mission. He has given me this mission. So what is your plans for this week? What do you plan to do tomorrow to spread the gospel? What about Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? What is your plan to spread the gospel? If you don't have one, then you're not meeting the great commission that God has given us. We need to go into all the world. And go ye means go me. We all have the same responsibility. It's not more responsibility on the people on this side than for this side, nor vice versa. All of God's children have the same God-given responsibility. And brethren, if we don't do this, it doesn't matter that we were baptized. That's good that we obeyed the gospel. But if we thought we obeyed the gospel and then we stopped, that we were finished, we're far from finished. We've got a lot of work to do between now and the time the Lord returns, or between now and the time that death overtakes us. But now he says in verse 4, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way, and to whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it, and if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now, notice something. He says, don't take a bunch of supplies with you. Now, these people that he's sending out, these 70, they have to have a strong faith in God. You mean you want us to go and not take a bunch of supplies with us? Jesus, what are you asking? He says, the people will take care of you. Now, how do you know that? Because he knows all things. Have you put your trust in God as the 70 has? Do we trust God that if I do what he said that He's told me to do, if I do that, will He actually take care of me? Do we believe Him? Do we believe that He can do it and that He will do it? That if we put Him first, well, if I put the kingdom first and go out and spread the gospel like you're talking about, well, I'm going to miss out on so many things. I won't have what I need. You don't trust God. You don't trust Jesus. You don't believe Him. You don't believe that either He can't do or He will not do what He says, and which makes Jesus a liar. So do we believe that God, do we believe that Jesus can and will do exactly what He said that He will do? And if we're not spreading the gospel, we don't believe Him. Either that or we simply said, Jesus, I know what You said, but don't count on me. I'm not going to do it. He says, the people will provide all the needs that you have. You know, that's pretty similar to the promise He made to us when He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. and all these things shall be added unto you. It's basically the same promise. You go out, you do what I said to do, and your needs are going to be supplied. You're going to have something to eat. You'll have a place to stay. But first, you just simply go and do what I've told you to do. And in verse 8 he says, and to whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. It's close by. Jesus has come. The Old Testament prophets prophesied about him. He's here. Now notice his kingdom. Notice the point. Jesus is here. He hasn't been crucified yet, but his kingdom is close by. It's at hand. That means it's soon going to be the kingdom, the church. And you read about the establishment of the church, of the kingdom, in Acts chapter 2. Now, the kingdom was not put off. Notice, he said it's nigh. Jesus did. Not man. Jesus did. The kingdom is close by. But we have some almost 2,000 years later saying the kingdom still hasn't come at all. That it's yet to come. And Jesus is going to come back the second time and set up the kingdom. Brethren, it's already here. He said it was nigh at hand then. But now once you go over to Acts 2, and there after that, you read about it already being established and talking about it in present tense because it has come at that point. But it was close by. It was at hand. In verse 10 he says, but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of the city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now, notice, he says, you go teach. You do what I've told you to do. Not everybody's going to believe. And he says, there's going to be wolves out there. It's going to be dangerous. So, it's not your responsibility to be concerned about your food. It's going to be a dangerous job, but I want you to go. That means it's not an easy task. Being a Christian is not an easy job. See, it's easy to go with the flow. It's easy to go with the majority, but it's harder to walk against what the world's doing. But now think about this. On the day of judgment, where would you rather be? In the group that serve God? With the few? Or with the many? See, being with the multitude often is the wrong place to be. And on the day of judgment, it will be the wrong place to be. He says, you go. It's not your responsibility to make everybody obey, but it is our responsibility to make sure that we do go and do what He's told us to do. And He makes a very strong statement here in verse 12. He says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. He says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for the mighty works that have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, that they had a great while ago, would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. He says, if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen what you have seen, they would have repented. He says, it's going to be worse for you in that day than for Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It was destroyed with fire and brimstone. Now, how is it greater for Chorazin and Bethsaida? The Lord has come. He hadn't in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord is here now. You have no reason not to believe. He's here, but some still turned away. There's going to be people that have heard the gospel proclaimed. I would imagine even a lot have said in the pews here at this building right here that have heard the gospel proclaimed, that have either never obeyed or have turned and walked away and quit following, that are going to fall into the situation. They're going to receive great damnation. They have tasted of the heavenly gifts, or they had the opportunity. The gospel was proclaimed, but yet they walked away. See, not everybody will obey. We even learned that in our Bible class this morning. Gospel proclaimed, some believed, some didn't. Now, sometimes people believe, but still refuse to obey. See, it's a choice that you make. It's a choice that I make. Nobody can make you or me serve God. But at the same time, nobody can stop you or me from serving God. See, heaven and hell is a choice. I was talking with a lady fairly recently, and her son got himself into quite a bit of trouble. And she was still wanting to believe and compensate for her son the trouble that he got into. Well, Satan sometimes takes over the body. Well, the days of him taking over bodies and demon possession, that's over. Zechariah 13:2 said it would pass out of the land. We see when the miraculous passed out of the land, so did those things. What I tried to explain to her, and her husband actually was listening and apparently maybe had tried to discuss some of this with her, because he was interested in simply listening, basically seeing where you get. See, we choose the decisions that we make. We choose to put those pills in our mouth. We choose to buy that bottle of liquor, to go pick up that six-pack. We make those choices. So I can't blame it. Well, the drugs made me do it. None if I chose to take the drugs. Well, the alcohol, I was drunk. I didn't know what I was doing. Not if you chose to drink the alcohol. See, we're going to have to give answer for what we've done in this body. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Every single one of us, but some of us are going to be like these people here. You're going to wish you'd never been born. That's going to be for those that didn't obey the gospel and for those that didn't remain faithful. In verse 13, or verse 15 actually, Jesus says, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell," or Hades. "He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." Great lesson here, brethren. You go and teach the gospel like God's told you to do. Somebody rejects you, it's not really you they're rejecting, it's God. We need to understand that. You do what God has said to do. And if they reject the message, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. They're rejecting the God that created this world. And they're going to give an answer for that and leave that in God's hands. He'll deal with that. You don't have to. In verse 17, he says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." They returned with joy, but now they've been sent out in the wolves, people that didn't want to hear the gospel, at least not all the people. It's a dangerous area, and they've been sent out. They weren't even allowed to take great supplies. They had to depend upon what the people had to supply them, and they returned with joy. How can they do that? They believe God and they serve God, and it made a difference in their life. And so will it in your life. If you'll serve God as He has instructed. But now if you give half-hearted service to God, don't expect to have the joy. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "I would that you were either cold or hot because you're lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth." See, if you half-heartedly serve God, don't expect to have the peace that passes all understanding. It's not promised to those that serve God half-heartedly. These people were sent out and into dangerous areas. People that some would want to destroy them. But they came back with joy because they knew they had followed God and did His will. And as we read the New Testament, we see of those that died, they died serving God. They died in the Lord, and blessed are those that die in the Lord. Will that be said about us? Only we can decide that. In verse 18 he says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give you unto power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing but any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." There's the reason they had joy. And brethren, that's the reason we have joy. Our names are written in heaven. But is your name written in heaven? In the next four verses, you see Jesus thanking God had given him things Jesus that came to have to die on the cross, gave the Father things. He was doing the same purpose that the Father had Him to do. This morning, do you have joy as these 70 had joy? If you don't, you can't have it. Your life can't have meaning. Your life can't have purpose. But first, you must be willing to turn it over to God. If you're not a Christian, you must do what they did in the first century to become Christians. I want you to think about this. The day of Pentecost comes. The kingdom, Jesus said it was nigh, it's close by. It comes, the kingdom, the church. People were guilty of sin. The gospel was proclaimed. Thousands are gathered there together. The gospel is proclaimed. They're guilty of sin. They say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That message is still there. It hasn't changed, and no man has the right to change it. And if you'll do that, your name will be written in heaven. And you can have that great joy.